some explaining to. And a classic man is a danger to you. And me too. Tatted on my forehead. Go home. Go to bed. I dread. Something we do this way come. When the family unit is overrun. When the structure is undone.
Yo, yo, welcome back to the Franchise Show. Joe Rigo with TQ in the building.
Yeah, we back. Did you miss us?
Of course they did.
Think so?
I did. Well, I didn't miss you.
Come on, man.
Seen you too much.
Look, man, look. We said we was going to start today off on a good note.
We did. We're already
positivity and happiness. Come on, man.
Oh, kumbaya. My bad. This show, we're going to talk a little about the OBL, Las Vegas High School Football. We're going to talk about the Aces and the WNBA, but first we're going to start off. It's that time of the year.
Ooh-wee. Can you smell it in the air?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Yes.
You should have sang that, not me.
I mean, he's actually in key, bro.
Was it?
All right. Yeah, that worked.
Well, it's NFL started NFL training camps.
Yes, it is.
And the franchise was in the building at the Intermountain Health Center, home of the Raiders practice facility.
Yeah, baby.
First day of pads today.
Man.
All right, so let's just get right to it. What did you think? What did you like what you saw? Because it's the first time you were there seeing them in pads.
I like structure, man. I like structure. Like, I've been to Raider training camps in the past, even before we started covering them, just strictly as a fan. That's during the time when the wine is cheap in Napa. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so. Cheap wine. You're drinking that Thunderbird.
So, I mean, you know, it's much less lackadaisical. Looks like they're having less fun, which I like. And moving fast, man. I'm at OTAs, I paid a lot of attention to the linebackers and the safeties. I paid more attention to them today, and I'm expecting much better things from that group in particular. Y'all know I love to watch the defense, so I'm not worried about the Raiders offense at all. I'm expecting it to be one of the best in the whole league. And if they are a top three offense, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
You know what? I'm glad you said that, because you know, we wrote about in the past, there's no more excuses for Carr.
Right.
He's got the best receiver in the game. He's got a top three tight end. He's got one of the best slot receivers in the game. The running game is good. It's an offense that gets the ball out quickly. And one thing that I noticed when it comes to reps, Nate Hobbs had a rep against Devontae Adams that, at the end, Devontae patted him on the head. It was a phenomenal rep. I think Nate Hobbs is that one corner to watch for the Raiders that takes that jump.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams brings a whole different dimension and a whole different vibe to the team. You know, when you watch him practice, there's a certain gravitas, the way he goes about his business. And I think a lot of the guys on the offensive side of the ball have taken notice and started to mimic it. I know DeMarcus Robinson was talking to us after in the media room, and he had mentioned, like, yo, like, you know, when I watched Devontae, he's a great route runner, but I didn't realize, you know, I mean, he has great releases, but every little nuance of his game, I never noticed that.
Right.
With that, Carr has to be on the money this year, because I agree. I think they may be the best offense in the AFC on paper.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that Adams brings like a level of professionalism having done it that the rest of the guys can look at him and say, look, that guy's been through it. He's the best at his position. And if I want to achieve that level of performance, I need to mock what he does. I don't think they've had that since Seawood, honestly. And like he was at the second team. And at that point, he was kind of at the tail end of his career. So he wasn't the best at his position, but he was still really good at his position.
Right.
On more of a down team. Adams' group in particular, who are you going to double?
Well, exactly. And that's the thing. If you double Devontae, now you leave Renfro and Waller one-on-one. Right. If you double Waller, you're leaving Devontae one-on-one, and Renfro's going to run free underneath. And in this offense, the slot receiver is key. Look at Edelman. Look at... Amendola.
Yeah.
Look at the slot receivers in McDaniel's offense.
Right.
They're key. So now you have Edelman in that same role You have Renfro in the same role as Edelman and Amendola.
He's gonna get some yards, man.
And he's gonna be singled up most of the time because they're gonna be worried about Devontae more than anybody else.
This is something that I believe the whole team, offense and defense, believes and that they're excited about. I think that that's why I expect for that offense to be pretty much unstoppable. You're gonna have mistakes. You're gonna need time to gel, you know, in real game time, but every last one of those skill positions, man, got some thump to it now. So this dude, you know, we know he know how to call plays.
Yeah.
And we can probably say that this is a more athletic team than any of those teams that he had with the Patriots on paper in the skill positions.
What was something that you were looking for today that you wish you would have seen, or maybe that you did see that you're waiting for?
I didn't recognize that Devon Diablo was that big.
Big boy, he's tall.
Yeah. Wow. He's got a range, he's got a length that I didn't pay enough attention to him up close. And I think that I'm hoping that he makes a jump this year. I saw some things last year.
He looked really good.
Yeah, he came on strong, but that position has been a position of need for the Raiders for I don't know how long.
Well, they had somebody that could have played it if they gave him the time, and Javon White, saying. Now he's in the Big Apple, talk. You know.
But, I mean, I'm really excited about him. Trayvon Merrick, I've said that many times. I think that might be my favorite player on this team. And then the defensive end, man, defensive ends. We got a hell of a duo out here.
Yeah, they
hell of a duo out here. I don't necessarily know about the middle right now, but I'm expecting them ends to cause some big problems in the AFC West.
Anytime I can see Devontae Adams, I'm gonna be excited. I mean, that's my favorite player in the NFL. Him and Jair Alexander. But Devontae is my guy. He's been my guy since he came in. And to see him in action, you know, in person multiple times now, it's a big deal. It is. But I think I was looking for that it only happened one time. There's only one fight.
I didn't even see no fights.
It was towards the end of practice.
Oh, was that down on the other side of the field?
It was on the far field side, but on the other side in between.
Yeah, I think I saw the commotion. I didn't know what was going on.
Man, that was...
Who was fighting? Did you see?
I didn't see, but look, that's the thing. Like, when the first day of pads, these guys are itching to hit. These guys are itching to do something, and they've had 10 weeks, but and that goes to my point I wanted to make overall was, you know, the one thing I did notice about every single one of the players playing with their pads, the 10 weeks of preparation and training and the way they were taught to do certain things, that all stayed the same with the pads on. Mm-hmm. Most people think, okay, pads on, time to hit, time for some thunder. No, you still have to keep your technique. And everything that comes about, and they did that today.
Yeah.
And that's a good first step. No, I didn't see any injuries. I know Cleve Farrell went out for a little bit. Did he come back? I think so. I think it was more dehydration. I think it was cramping up a little bit.
But I know it was something at the bottom. I thought it was a foot or something like that. It was just a cramp.
It could be. I seen him, you know, walking it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one guy that can afford to not miss time.
Man, for real. Hey, I tell you this much. I did see John Abram made a play right in front of me in coverage. That was pretty nice. Yes, he did. I think I got a picture of it.
Man, that should make Deion happy.
Yeah, for real. Shouts out.
Deion Hodges. The other thing I noticed at practice was Jared Stidham. I see why he's most likely going to be the backup.
I mean, he knows the system, right?
But no, not just knowing the system. The ball, the way the ball comes out, it's decisive.
Yeah.
It has a little extra zip to it. He's big. I can see why the Patriots really liked him before they took Mac Jones and McDaniel in particular. So I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. I mean, you know, it is Carr's team, no doubt about it. But should Carr go down, I would feel pretty comfortable with Stidham as the backup.
I'm not even putting this type of stuff in the air.
Well,
I'm an Auburn fan. I've already dealt with the Jared Stidham effect. I'm cool. Derek Carr is about to have a breakout season. He's playing 17 games in the regular season this year. Maybe 16 because he'll have the bye. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Jared Stidham. No disrespect, but we're not going to be using a backup quarterback this year, man. We got to win another game or two. You feel me? Or three. That'd be pretty good too. Yeah. Yeah.
I like what I see with the team. It's only day one of pads, but we'll be out there again. And
great thing about this team, and they talked about it in the first press conference. I see a lot of accountability. I saw Derek Carr running laps out there today.
And the center.
Literally running laps.
Fumble on the snap.
Yeah, man. Hit the road, Jack. And it's hot. You understand me?
It was humid, too. Yeah. It was hot and humid today.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. This isn't the first time he's ran laps. He's probably led the team in laps so far.
Well, hey, starts from the top.
I mean, it's a good sign, right? Accountability.
Get it together, homeboy.
Speaking of getting it together, good transition, by the way.
Come on, man. I ain't new to this. I'm true to this. Yeah.
The WNBA needs to get it together.
Man.
Like, how the hell do you still not have your women, your players flying on charter jets? How the hell do you not let Leslie Brown, you don't fly Leslie Brown out for the All-Star game? It's D Brown's daughter. She could have won a skills competition. Has there ever been a father-daughter duo that has won a dunk contest and a skills competition?
No.
That's easy marketing, easy money. WNBA, hey, holler at us. We got a billion of them. But but the reality is you need to fly the players out. I mean, it's ridiculous. Trophies the size of my pinky. I mean, come on.
Man, you know what? I have become invested in the WNBA from sitting on the sidelines with Trish shooting these games. And not only that, you know, I did some sound for AU, yeah. The women's league that came out here last summer. Mm-hmm. They did a round table. And I was sitting in and I was listening to just the stories behind trying to be a female athlete.
It's tough.
The mainstream doesn't get the stories, right? And it's partly because just the interest overall is just low. And like, I'm in the stadiums, I'm paying attention in the arena, I'm paying a lot more attention to the WNBA than I ever have. We got a hell of a team out here. We normally have a hell of a team out here that makes it a lot easier to like. Man, I saw a meme last week. It was Bill Burr or somebody, and he was just kind of like talking about women's support of women's sports. And I'm going to just say this much. Like, ladies, you got to support WNBA. Like, come out to the games, you know, learn your team. Like, we need you guys because at the end of the day, the men have a version of this that already entertains them to the highest level.
Yep.
I mean, they got LeBron James and Kobe Bryant and Magic Johnson and Kareem. I mean, this has been going on forever.
Kalani Lewis' favorite player, Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. Like, in order for the WNBA to grow, it's going to take women. Like, you guys have a huge voice. If you want something done and you band together, 9 times out of 10, it's going to get done.
Women's national team with soccer got equal right, equal pay as men.
Exactly. Well, no, hold on. They deserve more than the men. The men have been trash forever.
And they've been way better for way longer.
Yes. That's a totally different thing, I believe. But I'm just saying, as far as the WNBA goes, women's support for that sport is nowhere near where it should be. Inside the arena and out in the streets.
Okay, let's talk about out in the streets, because the elephant in the room that you're referring to is Brittany Griner, who is obviously locked up in Russia because she had some weed cartridges on her when she was trying to leave the country.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to take what I'm going to say is she does not need to be there, and this should not be there this long.
Period.
It is ridiculous.
Period.
She also needs to be accountable for what she did, because she shouldn't have brought that stuff over and try to leave with it. This reality of it. You know where you're at. Read the room as you would tell me.
Okay, that's cool. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm just under the belief that if you can put a person in jail for this long for weed, like, you just live in a ridiculous place.
Well, yeah,
it's Russia. It is what it is. It's ridiculous. At the end of the day, whether it's her fault or not, it's still ridiculous.
No, I don't disagree with you.
And on top of that, it's all political. It's all propaganda. It's all just a big...
You and I are in it. I agree with you. I'm just saying, I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying. I actually agree with you 100%. Weed should not be outlawed, and I'm not a weed person. You should not be in jail for it.
If you go to jail, if you're going to put somebody in jail for it, put them in jail for 10 days. Give them a big fine. Send them home.
There you go. I'm with that.
Come on. This is ridiculous. How long has she been there? Something like 200 days or something crazy like that?
It's been...
Come on, man.
Yeah, it's been a minute. And
this is ridiculous.
They need to free her 100%.
ASAP.
Well, and it's now being reported as we're recording this that the United States has offered Victor Bolden's a football player. Victor Bout, a Russian arms dealer for both Brittany Griner and Mr. Whalen, who's been there longer than Brittany Griner. He's been here for like 3 years.
I mean, forgive me. I don't necessarily know how all of this works, but this is taking this long. Why?
Man, look, you think I'm political? Come on. Of all me, you're talking about, you think I'm political. I get my political information from you.
I mean, nine times out of ten. I feel like this is just like, who cares, man? Just do it.
Just get it done.
Just do it at this point.
If there was,
it's ridiculous. The woman did not commit a violent crime.
If there was no Russian invasion of the Ukraine, this wouldn't have happened.
You might be right. Or maybe it would have, because it's just a big way to get clicks at the end of the day. Everything is about clicks. Everything is about fame. Everything is about being in the news. What other way are they going to get in the news?
True. And so, to be very clear, we support Brittany Griner.
100%.
100%.
100%.
She needs to be back home.
I got to make one distinction.
Do your thing, boy.
The free BG thing, I'm going to say free Brittany Griner because baby gangster is still in jail.
God.
Feel what I'm saying, Lil Doogie? Free BG Fridays. Some people know what I'm talking about, some don't. We can move on.
It's a way of life.
Yeah. Yeah. Come home soon, Doogie. We praying for you, boy.
For real. So the one other thing about the WNBA is the Aces won the Champions Cup.
They did.
Like,
they did.
That's a big deal.
It is. Like, it is, because they beat the reigning champs to do it.
Yes. The Chicago Sky with Candace Parker, who is on the Mount Rushmore of women's basketball players.
Yeah, she is for sure. She is 100%. And I mean, coming off that, man, that last game that they played against the Sky, what was it, 28 points they was down?
The Sky was down 28 points after the first quarter. It was like 42 to whatever.
And the Aces found a way to lose that game.
Yeah, they snatched the defeat from the jaws of victory. Like, yeah. It was just so horrible.
Oh, man, that was terrible. But, you know, it was good to get some redemption yesterday. Kelsey Plum is becoming my favorite player.
You know, Kelsey Plum is a baller. She needs to clean her house, though.
Does she?
Bro, what are you talking about? Did you see the Tom Brady thing? Mister, at everything in the video.
I wasn't paying attention to that, okay, man.
Bro.
What are you talking about? House, clean her house. What are you saying?
Look at
are you going over there for dinner or something?
Listen. If you're going to record something that's been beating my head repeatedly by somebody with a big peanut head, if you're going to record something, make sure the kitchen is clean. And she opened up this Tom Brady jersey, whatever care package, and look at the counter in the back. Brother man, it is not kicking over there.
Yo, check this out. You know what? Misery loves company. That's what this was about right here. Because this man right here, the king of the dirty dish.
What?
Go live session.
True.
I can't believe
you have
fixed your mouth.
Hey, I learned from my mistakes.
To tell Kelsey Plum to clean up her house. You of all people, man.
Hey.
Unbelievable.
It's not the pot calling the kettle black. I'm in the kettle and I'm like, come on, you right here with me, good. Let's go.
I'll get you that.
But
congratulations, though. Congratulations to the Aces for the win.
And I'm going to say this. Asia Wilson is going to win the MVP. I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you the most important player on the Aces, and I don't think it's even close.
Chelsea Gray.
100%.
I agree.
Chelsea Gray is the point god of the WNBA.
I agree.
Her handles, her no-look passes.
Nuts.
Bro, and I tell you what makes me laugh. Every time I see her run up the court and she's taking baby steps. Like, I'm like, oh, you can tell you got some knee issues there. But okay, Chelsea, you a baller.
She's a beast, man.
But I like that. I like that whole team, you know.
I do too. And you can just, it's a perfect example of how, you know how they say styles make fights?
Yes.
Like the whole Becky Hammond way, it just completely transformed that team. Those couple of changes that they made and just, it just, it brought the best out of everybody. It put everybody in the best possible position to play their best basketball.
The biggest change was getting rid of Liz Cambage.
Real talk.
And funny story, we have a good friend here. He's actually one of the pitchers, Tony Cardasco. Mm. Dasco went down to the ESPYs last week. He got invited to the ESPYs. Mm. So he's in his Uber, pulling into the Roosevelt, and the Uber drives around one of the taxis. Another car is coming, and someone gets up the car and goes, get the out the way! Get the F out the way! It was Liz Cambage. So at the game, another reporter locally went to her because Tony told a story to him, and he went to her and goes, you know, such and such was at the Roosevelt. She goes, yep, that was me. I got the car. I told him to get the F out the way because I need to get my COVID test to go to the ESPYs.
Hey.
And then that was her last game as a member of the Sparks because she walked out at the end of the game and said she can't do this anymore. Best of luck the rest of the way.
I did not know that. Are you serious?
Dead ass. They terminated her contract as of Tuesday. They called it a contract divorce.
Get out of here.
She is done.
Breaking news. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I did not know that. I did not hear that.
Big news
yesterday. What does she mean? She's done, just done playing ball?
Like literally, Chris, our good friend, Chris Haynes from Yahoo and TNT, Chris actually wrote the inside story behind it.
Yeah.
That once there was a coaching change,
uh-huh.
and they knew immediately because she wanted number 8. Well, that number was worn by somebody else. Then she wanted number 1. That was worn by a current player. The current player, they just gave her the number and didn't even tell the current player.
Oh, wow.
So then they're running the offense, and they were trying to force feed her the ball out of the and the players are like, it doesn't work. She wasn't great in the locker room with her teammates. She had the distraction earlier in the year when she it came out that she called the Nigerian basketball team monkeys and gorillas. And then the reason why she's not playing with the Australian national team is because she elbowed a player in the face from that Nigerian team, and the Sparks had to deal with that distraction.
My goodness.
This is all going on all season. So I think it was a boiling point where, you know, at the game, I was told I wasn't there for the Sparks game, but I was told that she was cursing at fans in the middle of the game. They were getting on her and she was cursing right back at them.
Jeez, so, man. Come on, Liz. What are we doing?
That was your girl.
Yeah, man. I used to like Liz, man. But I mean, you know, she's old school barbecue chicken type basketball player. You know what I'm saying?
Barbecue chicken.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I used to like her. But at the end of the day, man, you can see the big difference up here, man. And I mean, I guess that could be said for the locker room, too. But
100%.
On the court, you can absolutely see a big difference with her not being there. Offense just moves so well. The flow is so well. They swing the ball well. Everything is just, it's fluid. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't stop.
I'm so glad you brought up the locker room because you lose someone like Liz Cambage, who is a malcontent and a person that was not well-liked, and you bring in somebody like Sydney Colston.
Perfect.
Who is, she honestly is my favorite player on the team. I just love her energy. She is. Yeah. She looks like she just would be a ball to be around.
She played in that in the AU.
Yeah,
and that round table that I was talking about earlier. She was one of the members who was speaking about her journey. And man, yo, she's funny, bro. Like she is like a bona fide stand up comedian that would have you dying. So I can imagine. Going from Liz to her in the locker room is like
you need
completely
that.
Lightening up the mood around it. But I mean, you know, she's an older player or whatever, but she knows that she can ball too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And all the younger girls just respect her for ability to ball and having that personality. So I think she one of them consummate teammate type people that just you need that glue. You're trying to make a championship run, man. You always need like a glue player that's done it, that everybody respects
on and off
the court. She's that player for sure.
She's the one in speaking of ones, the ones basketball league, OBL.
Tracy, yeah.
This was a ball.
This was big fun, man.
Like
big fun.
NBA Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady started the Ones Basketball League. And the premise was give me the best one, you know, one-on-one basketball player in the country.
Yes.
And the prerequisite was you couldn't have more than a year and a half playing in the NBA or overseas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just got to come ball. So there was invitation only done in Houston, Atlanta, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles.
San Francisco.
No, I don't
think they do. I think they did San Francisco too.
Tony didn't go to San Francisco. Okay. He went everywhere. So I don't think so. And then championship game was culminated here in Las Vegas. And John Jordan from Houston, Texas won it.
Yeah.
And he won in just amazing fashion. Like it went into overtime. And in overtime, it's the first 1-2. And he was down 1-0. The opponent missed the jumper. John got it, went to the 2-point line and turned and shot it and fell as he shot it. And
game over.
Nothing but net. And if he would have missed it, he would have lost.
Yeah, he would have.
And the thing I like about John Jordan is he went to Texas A&M Corpus Christi, something you know about.
Oh, yeah.
He also was the first one to win the Houston bracket. And not only did he win the Houston bracket, what he did do was go to all the other cities on his own dime and scouted everybody he was supposed to play against.
Left something out. Grand prize, 250 racks.
So he went to continue. Technically he went 260 because he won the 10 for winning his region.
Oh yeah, right, exactly.
So he was
about betting on yourself, man. Man flew around on his own dime to scout his opponents. His potential opponents.
Yeah.
So like put into yourself, man. And like we was there to cover it. The production value for the event, for it to be the first time, it was all kinds of fun. Kids enjoyed themselves. I enjoyed myself. Because
DJ was lit.
Yeah, DJ was lit. And it's like, you know, when it's one-on-one basketball, it's half court, you literally hear everything that's going on. So they talking trash to each other. They like the families are talking trash. Like it was a hell of an event. I think it's gonna do well. Once it gets out there in Vegas a little bit more marketing, you know what I'm saying? Especially here, if it's going to be the place where the finals happens at.
Well, hey, I was told the Dollar Loan Center in Henderson loved it and they wanted them to have it there every year.
That would be great.
And that was a fantastic place too. First time we were there.
Yeah.
On the court, I should say, because we did go have dinner or lunch the day before. But the other part about the OBL that I really liked, the 20 grand vodka lounge.
Oh yeah, man.
Man, 20 grand vodka. That is my favorite vodka now by far.
My 100%. Man, like
John. Good.
I'm like I'm a vodka connoisseur.
Yes, you are.
I really like to drink vodka, you know.
You had that smooth vanilla, didn't you?
You know what? The flavored stuff, like y'all was getting lit.
Oh, I was up.
I had to shoot. I can't be getting lit, right? So I went to just straight vodka, and man, it was bomb. Like, it rivaled all of my favorites. Like, I'm a Belvedere drinking guy.
Yes, you are.
Nah, man, this 20 grand stuff is where it's at.
Bro.
The bottle is fly. Just the overall presentation. Like, my man John knows what he's doing with that. And the second time we've gone to one of his events. First time it was is
the Whiskey the X, whiskey. And that was Bird Dog Whiskey.
Yeah, so it was, he knows what he's doing, man. And I mean, the people up there were lit, which made the whole event that much better.
He created a drink in my name. You know it because I got you lit. I was trying to get you lit off
of it. I wasn't drinking no more of that, man.
It's apple vodka mixed with cranberry juice, but it was like in a big cup, so it was like a double shot.
It was ridiculous. And that's what it was.
It tasted like cranapple juice.
Yeah, he was up there drinking it like it was cranapple juice.
I sure the hell was.
I had to leave. I had to go back to the sideline and do my job. Would have been seeing double if I'd have stayed up there.
I did my job that day up there, both days.
What, drink?
Drink and network.
Yeah.
That's we have some news about 29 Grand Vodka coming soon. Just hold tight.
Network.
But now the OBL overall, Busta Rhymes came and performed at halftime.
Yep.
And he has Spliff Star, which I did not expect.
He always, man, come on, man. Spliff, that's a package.
Well, no, it wasn't. He's performed recently and not had Spliff.
Something was going on there, but it wasn't by design.
Okay.
Say that much.
Okay.
Yeah.
But to have Spliff, and then he turned the crowd up. everybody involved from it. You know, Tracy, Paul Pierce showed up. J.R. Smith had a good talk with J.R. Smith.
Yeah.
Josiah.
They enjoyed it too. Like, you know, one-on-one basketball for players, man. Like, that's the essence.
Did you see Paul Pierce
into it.
Do the push-up and the referee fall over him?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, stuff like that. It's like, they're court size.
Yeah,
it was priceless. Great. So the OBL, if you guys get a chance to check it out, go to, you know, go under our reels. You'll see some pictures and you'll see highlights and go check out their IG page, OBL Hoops.
Yeah, man.
Real good time.
It's good to see all the kids come out, too. A lot of kids in the city of Las Vegas came out to check that out and had a good time. I was watching them. They was really into it. So, and then, you know, the DJ hyping it up with the whole and one vibe.
Oh,
yeah,
like,
yeah. It was cool.
Speaking of kids, man, we're right around the corner from high school football season.
Yes, we are. It's prime time for Franchise Sports Media.
Oh, yeah. The prep rally will be back.
Yes, sir. The top 10
man.
Will be back.
Who? Okay, so, like, the big question is, we kind of know who number one is.
Right.
We kind of know who
might be number one in the nation at some point.
Should be number one in the nation, but that's neither here nor there. Who's going to be the number two or three team? Now, you got Liberty, it's Liberty, and they lost some people, but they're coming back. Mm-hmm. But then you have the number three team. Is it Desert Pines? They're returning some people, but
I got to see it.
Yeah. Or is it our favorite team, the Silverado Skyhawks?
Hey, state champs.
Man, like, that's the question. Who's going to come in at number three and four? I mean, Green Valley's looking real good.
Yeah. Hey, man, you know what? Like, last season, fell in love with Vegas high school football.
I know you did.
It looks great. You know, the field got a lot to do. You know what I'm saying? You watching L.A. football, man, from when we playing with glass on the field, dirt. Crack pipes, dirt, all kinds. Just a mess back in them days. You know what I'm saying? So now you see you up here in Vegas, and everybody got the nice fly field, nice fly uniforms. Man, we come from the dirt. Sometimes when you got two, three players with a different color helmet on, all white.
Got to play the games in the afternoon because gang violence at night.
Oh, man. Come on.
It's so bad.
It's just good to see some good high school football with the support of the community. And we are absolutely going to do our best to bring it to you guys from every single angle in this whole city. We feel like we're the flagship. We're the vessel to bring high school football to the city of Las Vegas. We accept the challenge, and it's on.
I will say this. One of the local publications did their media day out here the other day, right?
Yeah.
Two things stood out.
Yeah.
They're both helmets. Sierra Vista's helmet.
Yeah.
Shout out to Devin Jones. I call him Bully.
Yeah.
Their new head coach. Bully's one of the – he's going to do a lot for that program.
Yeah.
And he's got a really good quarterback as a sophomore. Like, this kid is, we seen him in 7-on-7, and he's the real deal. He grew about 3-4 inches.
Yeah,
about
he got him one. He got him one at quarterback. Yeah, for real.
And that's
how. Shouts out for letting us use the field yesterday too, man, for those drills we was doing. Good looking out, coach. Thank you. So
he has a lion helmet that is fly.
Is it? I ain't seen it.
Oh, it's fly. I'll show you after the show.
Okay.
And then Liberty.
Oh, he got a new helmet.
Rich Morocco. I salute Rich Morocco, right? Yeah. Their head coach. And he is the head of the Football Coach Association out here in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
For their away games and their out-of-state games, they have a battle-born, almost state flag helmet that's red, white, and blue.
Sick.
It looks so fresh.
Sick.
So I was real pleased to see the helmets.
All right.
I don't know.
Got some new drip out here, huh?
We may see it when we cover some of the games. When the out-of-state teams come in. By the way, Bishop Gorman, they got new uniforms too.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh, it's getting fly right now.
Brent Browner's not letting it go like that.
Hey, I can't wait. It's about to cool off. The sky turns pink.
Ooh.
You hear plastic cracking up against each other? Yeah, man. Come on, man. Mouthpieces flying out. Stuff breaking. Can't wait. I love it.
Wait, is this, is it, your favorite time of the year when the fall? I mean, I know we love summer with beaches and everything like that. Excluded, but I mean, this time of year with football, high school football, college football.
Man, our weekends are just full of it. So it just feels like just like we in it. We in the action. You know what I'm saying? I love it. I love to be in it. I love to be around a bunch of big dudes banging against each other. You know what I'm saying? I always
that don't
that
sound
way,
right.
Like, you know what? Check this out. Look at the camera.
You should
lady
see
over
Trish's
there.
Face behind the camera.
Oh my God. My partners, I swear, anything you say, they act like they're 12 years old. These people are just ridiculous. Look at this guy. Look at him. Look at both of them. They grinning from ear to ear just because I'm talking about football, man. Go get a companion or something. You know what I'm saying? Both of y'all. Give me a break.
Listen,
this happens all day long. They just laugh and giggle about any little sexual innuendo that slips out. I'm not even thinking about that, man. You don't even stop. You don't even do it. You even do it on camera, huh?
See, hey, I'm supposed to be natural, right? You know, BB. Hey, no, honestly,
yo,
though.
Yo, Trish is worse than him, to be honest, just so y'all know.
See, so I'm not that bad.
There we go.
But honestly, I agree. Like, people don't realize.
Hold on, if that sounded bad, I'm talking about football. You understand? Football. Football. All right, go ahead.
But like, when it comes to the season, right?
Yeah.
From literally Monday, we're at a Royals press conference.
Yeah.
Raiders press conference.
Yeah.
Tuesday, UNLV in Raiders practice. Wednesday, UNLV in Raiders practice. Thursday, UNLV in Raiders practice. Friday, high school football. Saturday, UNLV.
Yeah.
And then
repeat
Sunday,
the cycle.
Sunday. So when the football season's over, I'm literally like, what am I doing now?
Yeah.
I got to figure something out to do with the rest of my week because everything I do that's cool is done.
Yeah, and it's like it's very depressing. It's very depressing once you get down towards the end, man. You know what I'm saying? I start looking at the days like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And like that last week when we normally are looking at Cabo San Lucas.
Yes,
you know what I'm saying? When the Raiders are out of it, man, it just means so much more to have played that extra game.
No.
Last year. So we need to get a couple of extra games in this year, man. Let it go as deep as it possibly can. We got the 49ers here on the first day of 2023.
You're going to that. Well, you got season tickets.
Goodness. Anyway. Man, what? I got to get in shape.
I may have to get in shape with you.
Yeah, I got to get in shape for that game because I'm gonna need some stamina. Need some stamina.
Hydrate.
Got to hydrate, man. Got to hydrate.
The electrolyte, water.
Yeah. Liquids Club.
Yep.
That's going to be a hell of a game, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait.
New Year's Day, Battle of the Bay.
You're going to be hungover?
I can't call it the Battle of the Bay no more, huh?
No.
Got to figure something out. Something else out.
The Southwest Hopper? Anyway, guys, that's the show for this week.
Yeah, man.
This guy right here, man, like, you did your thing today.
I mean, I'm trying, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying. You get on my nerves immensely. So I gotta make sure that I hide that for the people. Like, this guy is really annoying, you know what I'm saying? Love him, but he's annoying. I'm just playing, dude. Don't cry. Joking.
Never that. We're back next week. We're coming at you with more of the news going around franchise.
Yeah, yeah.
TQ, Joe Arrigo.
Talk to you later. Boys. They know the new